From tales of slavery to adventures in outer space, this year's crop of fall films runs the gamut. Current State's Emmanuel Berry chatted with MLive Entertainment reporter and film critic John Serba about the upcoming film season. They started with a film neither is excited to see, a dance flick titled Battle of the Year.
There's no step-up movie this year, so apparently America needs dance battles in 3D. There's something to be said for these step-up movies because they're actually pretty dynamic visually, but then dramatically they're like D-grade soap operas. And Battle of the Year looks like exactly the same thing, except with Chris Brown, and that just doesn't strike me as a very good selling point.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna spend money on that one. Don't think I'm gonna see that one.
No. As a movie critic, you don't judge anything until you see it.
You know what? Could be your favorite. It could be your favorite movie this year. Who knows? Right?
Exactly. cautious optimism. That's my philosophy in everything. But it's hard to be cautiously optimistic when Chris Brown is in a dance movie.
That's true. Now, another film among your least anticipated list was Rush, which stars Chris Hemsworth of Thor fame, and also my favorite German actor, Daniel Brühl, who was also in Inglourious Basterds, Quentin Tarantino's film. But you're not so into this film. You're not too excited about it.
You know, I will. The one caveat I have is that I think I want to see if Chris Hemsworth can really act. So maybe this is his. Because let's face it. I mean, he wasn't hired to play Thor for his thespian abilities. and so he and Daniel Brühl are going to play these rival race car drivers. And what really grates me, though, is that it's directed by Ron Howard, and I think he's one of the most overrated directors ever. I mean, and with Ron Howard behind the wheel, if I may belabor the metaphor, with Ron Howard behind the wheel, this movie is guaranteed to go right down the middle of the road. So that's why I'm not anticipating it. I mean, I've gotten into arguments with people about this who are like, didn't you like Apollo 13? Yeah, I did like Apollo 13. But Backdraft? No. You know, he's done so much schmaltzy, kind of sentimental stuff that I don't look forward to seeing his films anymore. And The Da Vinci Code has kind of ruined him for me. So,
all right, now let's get off the bad. Let's move to the good. You are looking forward to 12 Years a Slave, and this film has a bunch of stars in it. It's a true story of a free man who was sold into slavery. What has you wanting to see this film? And I guess I've also heard that this film is supposed to wipe away the bad taste that was left in the mouths of some people by Django. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, This is going to be a more straightforward kind of period drama where Tarantino's Django really just is kind of a rewriting of history, you know, and it's almost, you know, he has no problem being politically incorrect and making jokes in the language and all of that. 12 Years a Slave is actually based on the autobiography of a guy named Solomon Northrup. I mean, this is his story. There's a number of reasons why this is just screaming Oscar bait, because Steve McQueen, who directed Shame a couple of years ago with Michael Fassbender, the infamous Shame, I should say. This seems like someone threw some money at him and said, win us some awards, you know. and that's not necessarily a bad thing at all, because he's a very, very strong young filmmaker. And he's assembled Benedict Cumberbatch, Brad Pitt, Fassbender again, Paul Giamatti, Paul Dano. I mean, an amazing cast of stars. And then Chiwetel Ejiofor. That's how you pronounce it. Learn how to pronounce it, because they're going to be talking about him.
We're going to hear it all during Oscars, right?
Exactly. You're going to be hearing about it through the endless award season. And he plays Solomon Northrup, and he really is one of the underrated actors. He's been in a number of things, but never has been handed a big, meaty, starring role like this. And I think he's going to, you know, this movie debuted at Telluride last week, and a lot of people were raving about how powerful it was and how strong his performance is. So, you know, the ball is rolling for him to, you know, make a real, real strong breakout.
We also have several space films coming out this fall. There's Ender's Game, but there's also Gravity, which stars George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. And from the previews, I'm kind of not sure about this one, simply because I don't know how much of a plot there can be after, you know, they're at a space station and someone gets detached and is floating through space.
You know, if anybody is gonna make this movie gripping and interesting and very suspenseful, it's Alfonso Cuarón. He directed Children of Men. In fact, that was the last movie he did 7 years ago. And real film geeks love his work because he's really a dynamic filmmaker. And this is almost the anti-Hollywood movie because it's such a simple story, but I can see it, you know, already in the trailers. You get this sense of that, like, claustrophobia and that fear of that big black nothingness as Sandra Bullock floats away.
Houston, I've lost visual, Dr. Stubble.
You think, how is he going to make that interesting for 90 minutes? Well, that's what good filmmakers do.
Well, on the lighter side of things, away from being sucked into black holes, we have a movie, Don John, that's directed by and starring and written by Joseph Gordon-Levitt of lots of fames. Third Rock from the Sun and 500 Days of Summer, and I guess Batman too. All of those things. So I actually have a sound clip from this film. We have Scarlett Johansson, who is playing Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character's girlfriend, and he's being introduced, or she's being introduced to his parents.
Dad, I would like you to meet Barbara. Baby's my dad.
Hi, Mr. Martello.
Yeah, good to meet you.
John.
Well, no, I wasn't expecting such a lovely lady, that's all.
Oh, thank you. So nice to finally meet you both.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
This is obviously Gordon-Levitt's first, like, real creative behind-the-camera, you know, stab at filmmaking. So everybody is like, what's his voice going to be? And I think he's tackled a pretty interesting character. You know, this is going to be a character, comedy, drama, whatever, where it's this guy who's kind of your typical, he looks sort of like a spin-off of Jersey Shore, you know.
Yeah.
he's looking in the mirror all the time. He's tan, he's buff, you know. He's a kind of a ladies man, and you know, but he's also got this real deep sense of family and spirituality. You know, he's a dedicated churchgoer, but he's also very dedicated to looking at porn on the internet. And that kind of it's a sticking point when he meets Scarlett Johansson and they start to have a serious relationship, which is something that I don't believe his character has had much of prior to that.
Now, there were a couple films on your list of anticipated films that surprised me a little bit. So let's go with the first one, and that is Machete Kills.
Machete Kills. That's what he does.
You can't beat my army of super soldiers.
Bring me my double Ds.
Why? Why do you want to see this?
Well, you know, people always think, oh, you're a film critic. You only like movies about French love during wartime and period films. Well, you know, there's a part of me that likes grindhouse junk too, you know, and that's exactly what this Machete franchise is. And I'm not, I saw the first Machete twice, and I would never say it was a good movie, but it is fairly entertaining. And, you know, nobody except Robert Rodriguez, the director, has ever given Danny Trejo a starring role. So here he is, you know, he's a really charismatic and fun character actor to watch. He's in about 20 movies a year, all these direct-to-video things. And, you know, it's just kind of fun to see him hacking up bad guys, I guess.
With a machete.
With a machete.
Because he kills. Machete kills.
Yeah, you know, I mean, noun, verb, what more do you need?
Yeah, right? You also had a remake on your list, and that was the teen horror classic, Carrie, which is starring Chloe Moritz and Julianne Moore. And I saw this film as a child, the original Carrie, and all I remember was being really confused and not really understanding it. But I guess, what do you think this remake, what kind of perspective will this remake give this story? Is it going to be a true remake and very similar to the original, or are we going to kind of see a different angles with this film, you think?
I get the feeling that you might get a different angle on it, just because it's directed by Kimberly Pierce, who did Boys Don't Cry, and an underrated movie called Stop Loss, which was about Iraq War veterans coming home and dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. She's no slouch as a filmmaker. And then you have, like you said, Chloe Moretz, who I think is one of the great, great young actresses, from Hugo and Kick-Ass and a few other things, and then Julianne Moore as Carrie's mom. And so you look at it and you go, yeah, it's a remake of a horror movie that, let's face it, you look back on it and it's a little corny and schmaltzy, but it still kind of packs a punch visually. You know, it's very heavily symbolic about a girl becoming a woman. And I think that's, you know... Brian De Palma directed the original one, and he is sort of, he's almost exploitationist as a director, you know? And so I think it'll be, I so hope that Kimberly Pierce gives it a different kind of feminine perspective. You know, that's my thought on it. That's my cautiously optimistic take on a remake of Carrie, so...
John Serba is an entertainment reporter and film critic for MLive and the Grand Rapids Press. And John will probably check in with you around Oscar time and see how these films fare.
Yeah, thank you for having me.